Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. Andy, how you doing today, my friend?
I am doing outstanding, Jim. How are you?
I am very good, thank you. I'm ready to talk some Penn State football. How about you?
Yeah, let's do it. There's a little bit to talk about this week for being, you know, in the depths of January and the off season. I learned something this week about Penn State and its football roster. So let's move forward.
Well, you hit the starting point, talking roster. Now, going into this week, we knew Penn State had to do some trimming of the roster. There's an 85-man limit. They were well above that, but they put out their new roster. They're now down to 84, and we're probably not done as far as players leaving the program, whether just they're done with football or they're going to choose to enter the transfer portal. But the way you read this roster is not names that were announced. You look for the names that aren't there anymore, and there were several of those. Let's hit these and see if any of these surprised you. Let's start at wide receiver, where both Daniel George and Cam Sullivan Brown were missing from the roster. These are two guys who've been around for several years. Any surprise there, Andy?
No, I don't know. It doesn't matter whether they went into the transfer portal and just decided, you know, we're college graduates, we're Penn State alumni, we're done. Because they were both given what I consider ample opportunity. Like, they were given a real chance to become a more prominent featured player in this offense. And neither one of them sort of got to that level in terms of what they would expect from themselves and what they needed out of them. And they just got passed by. I mean, you remove those two guys from the Matrix roster. I'm calling it the Matrix roster because it's really kind of cool. But they still have 11 receivers. And it was, you know, clear, you know, in the second half of 2020 and last year that there's more younger talent at the receiver position coming, and that they had been passed by. And I sometimes when that happens, you're like, yeah, I don't know if he ever really got a shot, or he never got to really, you didn't see him that much on the field. I am comfortable and confident saying both of these guys really, I think, had a legit shot, and there was opportunity for them. It wasn't like they didn't get a chance, or there wasn't a window of opportunity. That wasn't happening at all. And the other thing I want to say about the receiver position, there's 11 receivers. That's a pretty deep and good number. But it is the one position, probably of the two and maybe three on the entire field for Penn State, that I can confidently and safely would say that there is clearly talent development going on at that position. Like, you can see it. You can see that they're what their skills are and what the coaching is and what they're being taught and what they're being asked to do. It's all kind of meshing together, and it is a very developmentally rich position for the Penn State roster.
And recall, it was just a couple of years ago, we were all concerned about wide receiver. There was this revolving door of coaches there. And are we going to reach a point where there's any stability there? And I think now you're starting to also get that to that point where there's this legacy, you know, from KJ Hamler to Jahan Dotson to now probably Parker Washington. Not to mention, you know, bringing in Tinsley from the transfer portal, I believe it's Western Kentucky, who has a tremendous reputation and will probably step right in and play. And as far as getting an opportunity, yes, I believe both these guys have had their chances. They've been around long. Remember, they were here 2 years ago when it was wide open. We ended up with two freshmen, true freshmen, starting. So, and the other thing to look at when you talk about opportunity, we see them on game day on Saturdays. The coaches are watching this, you know, through the off season, through fall camp, spring camp, through the week during the season. So I'm sure these guys got their opportunity, and we wish them well no matter where they end up, whether it's transfer portal or moving on from football. The other position affected with multiple departures is the offensive line, one of our favorite topics. It was interesting in that I don't think a real surprise Anthony Wiggin made the decision to move on. But we also had Mike Miranda, a starter for the last 2 years, decides to move on. Add to that Rasheed Walker and Eric Wilson, who were starters, and Des Holmes, who previously entered the transfer portal. A lot of offensive linemen gone, but let's stick with Miranda and Wiggin. Surprised at Miranda?
I am a little surprised. I didn't see him in the transfer portal, but you know, when he's not on this roster matrix, that means there's no scholarship and it's not counting. So he might just be done. I'm not sure. But if you think about it, it is, you know, Anthony Wiggin and Mike Miranda. Miranda was the full-time starter at center almost the entire season. He played, you know, a little bit of guard when they moved Juice Scruggs to center. But he was one of the offensive linemen. So you could say sort of tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, well, the way that offensive line play, you know, it is addition by subtraction. And that's kind of, yeah, of course. You're like, yeah, well, they weren't that good, so any replacements has to be better. They are ridiculously thin. Ridiculously thin as a program, both in talent development and numbers-wise at the offensive line position. So there is, for me, the offseason, this offseason, 2 years ago, it was all about the wide receivers heading in, you know, after 2019, heading into 2020 was like, you know, are they going to have any good wide receivers? Is Jahan Dotson number one? Yes. I have no clue what they're going to do for the most part along this offensive line because they now don't have very much coming back. Not necessarily a bad thing based on the performance in 2021. Again, tongue-in-cheek I say that, but it is partly true. They were not very good. Some guys went to the NFL, but this is two guys who started the first game together on the offensive line. Now, Wiggin didn't play much after that, but they are no longer on the roster. They had eligibility left, and they're already thin at the position. So there's a couple little red light flag, you know, little red lights, or if you want to call them, you know, hurricane warning flags going off there along the offensive line.
You know, Andy, we'll dig a little deeper on where things sit at the offensive line and a couple other positions when we do a roster evaluation in quarter number four. But I also think when you look at these with Mike Miranda moving on, you say, okay, the offensive line didn't perform that well, so maybe there's addition by subtraction. But in stating that, you still have to mention he was still at the top of the rotation
right. This
season. So he was, you know, considered by the coaches better than everything else that they had. With that said, I do believe that there is a transformation, I'll call it, along the offensive line. They couldn't have been happy with that performance this past season. So we'll dig a little deeper into that in quarter number four. A couple other names from the defensive side. Fred Hansard, defensive tackle, but he's been battling injuries through his Penn State career. Cornerback A.J. Litton, he was a transfer from Florida State. And then safety Drew Hartlob, special teams kind of guy, walk-on. They are also no longer on the roster. I don't think any surprises here with any of them.
Yeah, no, just probably a numbers game. I mean, based on the time they've all been around. Well, the transfer from Florida State, I don't know his academic status. But for Drew Hartlob and Fred Hansard, you have to – they should have graduated by now, right? They should have picked up their Penn State degree and be alumni of the Pennsylvania State University, which is always a big deal for these guys. It's like they thank everybody, but they always talk about, I've graduated, I'm going to the portal, but I'm a Penn State alumni. That's a big deal for them. So hopefully they did that, but Fred Hansard just could never get healthy enough to play. That's just the bottom line. And they have plenty of defensive linemen, too. So
point out something important there, Andy, with getting the degree. And this is part of James Franklin's strategy with his players, where he tries to get them going to summer class and so on, even reaching the point where they could graduate in 3 years. What that does, it's a tremendous favor to the players to be in that position. If they graduate in 3 years, it gives them options, whether it's just to move on with their life or enter the transfer portal with still a couple years of eligibility left. So it's a good thing for the players. A couple other news tidbits. As we know, the longtime strength and conditioning coach for Penn State has moved on. And I don't think there's going to be a big change in the program when you have the guy who's been there for several years as the assistant. I hope I'm pronouncing the name correctly, Chuck Losey. And the one thing you got to note, he's got top grade mustache going, doesn't he, Andy?
Yeah, that mustache is, a lot of you might not know this, that is Raleigh Fingers Majestic. That thing is absolutely gorgeous. But so when I think about, Dwight Galt retiring and the strength and conditioning staff, yeah, it makes sense to promote from within with what they've been doing. I mean, he's been with this group and this staff and, for what, a decade or so, right? So he knows, he's part of what I think you've been seeing going on, right? The great testing numbers for guys at the next level at the NFL Combine, blowing up, getting them drafted, giving them opportunities at the next level. The other thing I was thinking about when you talk about the strength and conditioning staff, and this is important, and I kind of want to bring this up real quick, Jim. Do you ever think that Penn State's physically overmatched? Do you watch football games and go, man, they're overmatched? You don't. Do you see them getting really gassed in games or towards the end of games? You don't really. So those are subtle things I just thought. When I thought about it, I was like, I don't see this very often. I don't see them getting physically overrun and gassed.
Well, I know there will be some among the fan base who would argue that point with you at the line of scrimmage, whether it's Penn State's offensive line or the defensive line after an Illinois game where they get manhandled, or when they're not able to stop the run at the end of the game, the opposing team is able to run out the clock. So, I don't mean to be critical at that, but to put that on the strength and conditioning or the players, who knows? That's going to have to be it, though, for quarter number one, Andy. Stick around. We got Ross Tucker coming in.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.